United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Boyd Martin tells us about his World Equestrian Games experience. But first, with just 2 weeks to go now to the start of the Neutrina USEA American Eventing Championships, we hear from Rob Burke, Senior Director of Programs, about the final preparation and what we can expect at this year's championships. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be on.
Well, it is the big countdown now, just over 2 weeks away from the AECs. It must be pretty busy in the office now getting ready.
Absolutely. You know, Joe, our CEO, just walked in from France, from the WEGs, and the first thing I said to her when she saw boxes stacked to the roof of prizes and welcome bag material, I said, well, can you tell that the AEC is just about here? And she said, yes, pretty easy to tell. So,
as you say, well, 14 days now to go to the start of the competition there in the Texas Rose Horse Park. How are the entries looking at this point, Rob?
Very good. Very comparable to last year. I think as of today, we are over 380 entries. So I think we ended up with, at the end of everything, just over 400 last year. I think we'll be very, very similar to that. So we're excited. Texas continues to be a great venue. And we've had wonderful turnout from the folks in Texas and the West Coast. And actually, we're getting some people coming all the way down from Area 1 this year, which is pretty exciting for us. That's a long haul, so we're trying to make it as a wonderful experience for them as possible.
Well, just to explain all the different divisions then, and the Gold Cup, there's different prizes and awards this year. Do you want to run through those?
Sure, yeah. So one of the first things I should talk about is our adult team championship, which is new to the AECs, as we've discussed previously this year. We've made a couple of changes here in the last couple of weeks, taking a look at the entries. We've opened up the team competition to any of the AEC adult amateur competitors. They can now join teams with the adult team challenge competitors. We're trying to get as many teams competing as possible, and after we discussed it through our organizing committee, we really thought this was a great move to open it up and add more competition. So that's an exciting thing. And the adult team challenge goes from beginner novice up through prelim, and it's really a chance for our adult amateurs and our competitors who aren't the high performance pros. It gives them the opportunity to really feel what our WEG competitors feel, having that team experience and going out and really just the camaraderie associated with it. So we're excited about that. We also have beginner novice through advanced, and our advanced division is again a return of the Attaquan Gold Cup Series final. And so we're excited to see our 2013 champion return in Lainey Ashker with her horse Al, as well as Becky Holder is making a return on a different mount this year, but she was our 2012 champion. So it should be very competitive, and we've got some other great names in the field, John Holling, Buck Davidson. So we're just, I can't say how excited we are. One, to just get there and just have a great time, but also to again make this experience as great as possible for everybody who's spent hard-earned money and taking a lot of time to get down to the championship. So yeah, I can't say enough.
Now, when do the entries actually close, Rob?
So technically, today is the closing date for the championship. However, we are going to accept post-dated entries through the 16th. So next Tuesday. However, we're saying that we should have them in hand by next Tuesday. And really, this matches up because we had received a presidential modification from the USEF to be able to accept qualifiers through the 16th of September. So we're just kind of matching up. And that way, these people who are able to get in a last-minute qualifier, and we have a couple who are looking for one more qualifier to get into the championships, this will give them the opportunity to achieve that qualification and send in their entry right on time. So, yeah.
Well, there's a terrific family of sponsors, and it would be hard to list them all here because there are so many. Obviously, you have your presenting sponsor of Neutrina, but it is a terrific family of sponsors, and there'll be trade fairs there. Presumably, many of them will have a presence.
They will, yeah. Just about all of our sponsors, and as you said, I mean, we have an amazing group of sponsors. You know, last year, I think our announcers would laugh on occasion when they were announcing all of the prizes and the how much we've gotten from spectacular sponsors, as I said, like Adequan, Neutrina, VTO Saddlery, Mariel, Broadstone, to name a few. But we are you know, it's amazing. I can't say enough about the participation of our sponsors. And as you said, there will be quite a few of them in the trade fair, in addition to additional vendors who are coming in. So our trade fair should be pretty exciting this year. We're working to have a beer garden there on site, pipe in sound from cross country, as well as the competition. All of the parties this year are going to take place in the trade fair area, to both let our competitors come and see what our trade fair vendors have to offer, but also just kind of make this sort of village atmosphere there in the center of the competition ground. So very excited. And we've got some stellar activities that are going to be going on, educational as well as just fun. We had a very popular program called the Event College that our Professional Horsemen's Council had come up with at Rollflex, whereby we have some of our pros on site for each of the sections of the competition. We're going to bring that to the AEC, so people like Max Corcoran, as well as some of our pros, are going to be there on site to answer questions, talk a little bit about how they prepare for that segment of the competition, what they're looking at, and it's good for both riders and non-riders alike. So, and that's made possible through the sponsorship of the North Texas Eventing Association. So we're really excited about that. And then Pro will have our course walks returning for each of the divisions. So we'll have a pro going out on course, so you can go and walk around with the likes of John Holling and Leslie Law, and you name it. And then, boy, from a fun perspective, we have I've already been told I'm not allowed to do it, but we're having a mechanical bull riding tournament during the competitors' party. So teams of three are able to sign up for that competition. It'll be based on how much time people are able to stay on the mechanical bull, and in true Texas fashion, the prize is an enormous belt buckle that says mechanical bull champion. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I think all the staff should be invited to do that, don't you?
I don't know. There's I don't know if our insurance policy would be especially happy.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Obviously, there's something for everybody. I mean, that's cliched, but there really is, because you've got, obviously, the competition for all levels. You've got all the entertainment as well as the village. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun out there. And, of course, it all starts on the 25th of September through the 28th, that weekend, at the Texas Rose Horse Park in Tyler, Texas. And, of course, the website has all of the details, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Rob,
it does.
Yeah. People can go there and find out everything they need to know, whether they're a competitor, a sponsor, spectator, or a volunteer. All the information they need is on the website. Is there anything we've missed here, Rob? Because we're only 2 weeks away now.
We are. And our final Gold Cup qualifier just took place out there in Washington, the Aspen Farm. So we're excited that Rebecca Bueller, it's only her second time out at the advanced level, but she was able to win that one, Border Horse Brighton. So hopefully we'll see Rebecca at the American Eventing Championships, but otherwise we're going to see a lot of our Gold Cup competitors out there, so we're excited.
Now, I know that a lot of our members will be wondering what staff will be there and who they'll get to meet this time at the AECs.
Sure. Yeah. So we've got some of our folks who've been around a little bit longer, including Joe Whitehouse, our CEO. Wendy Weinstein is going to be in our trade fair booth, as well as helping out with kind of accounting in the main office. We've got quite a few of our younger new staff, not necessarily one of the newest, but Leslie Threlkeld, who's been around a little while, she'll be there taking photos and writing up articles. And from a newer staff perspective, I think I still rank in that group myself, as well as Caroline Culbertson writing some articles. Kate Loki, a fabulous new staffer who has really made the AC possible again this year. And Faisal Oria, one of our newest members, will be there, and Rebecca Latora. So, we've got a full complement of the staff. I'd say probably about half the staff is going to be there, but then the other half have to stay home and keep things running here, so that everything else out there in the world is able to keep running like a fine-tuned machine. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, a great team, both out there at the AECs and back at home. Rob, it promises to be a fantastic weekend. I'm sure you're all excited. Can't wait to get there, no doubt.
No doubt. And for me, I can't wait till the last day when we can say this was a success and everybody can go home safely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Rob. Again, that is September 25th through the 28th at the Texas Rose Horse Park in Tyler, Texas. And be sure to find Rob and persuade him to get on that bull if you're out there.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Rob.
Okay, bye.
Boyd Martin was the highest-placed American rider at this year's Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in Normandy, riding his new mount, Shamwari, into eighth place. And he joins us now to tell us about his experience at the World Games. Boyd, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be on.
What a successful competition it was for you with a relatively new partner, but you got off to a good start this season, despite your broken bones, when you had a top three place finish at Le Moulin. So you must have been pretty confident with the partnership you had with this horse going into the games.
Yeah, I mean, I knew we bought the horse earlier this year and, I obviously did my homework on him and, he's a top-class horse. So I figured if I rode him half decent, he should do really, really well. And he's been very, very impressive, Chris. Even though we didn't have much time to get to know each other, he really... really was outstanding at Le Moulin and brilliant at the World Equestrian Games in Normandy.
Well, tell us about that final preparation, Boyd, because you're based in Chantilly in France in some beautiful surroundings there for your final tuning. How did that go?
Yeah, it was pretty good. We didn't go for that long this time. We were, I think, in camp in Chantilly for 10 days. And so we did two gallops, two jump schools, and 5 or 6 days of dressage there. So it was a good training camp. It was about the right time. I thought, in 2012 it was a bit too long and everyone started getting sick of each other. So it was a great group of people and different sort of feel to the camp with new coaches and new administration. And so it was good time there. And then it was great to get stuck into it in Harass the 10 last week.
Well, tell us about that experience there, because we've heard all kinds of accounts of the facilities and services and everything that you were provided with in Haras de Pins. It's known for being a beautiful setting, but the weather wasn't to your advantage before the games, was it?
It was funny. We all got there Monday afternoon all excited, and it was just pouring with rain. And then all of Tuesday it was pouring with rain, and I think sort of Tuesday afternoon, we had a meeting every night, and David O'Connor and Philip Dutton sort of addressed us all, saying, "Look, this is not going to be any competition that we all thought it was. It's going to be a real, real challenge." And and then I started becoming petrified because I knew they were thinking of sending my horse out last, and I knew that the footing would be well and truly trashed by 90-some horses. So I was terrified for about 4 or 5 days, and then the course was great, and my horse jumped well, and I was pretty happy with him.
Well, of course, it all began with your dressage test, and that in itself was on a on good footing. You were on an all-terrain surface there. But what was it like to ride in that arena, and what did you really think of your performance at the end of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was, unfortunately, like, I mean, I was a bit disappointed with my test, actually. He has been known to put in some sensational tests, and our final preparation test at Great Meadows, he put in a cracker and got a 41, and I thought I could do better than that, which would have had him right up with the leaders. Unfortunately, the warm-up for the ring was right next to the stands, like 2 metres away from the stands, and I was going after a break, and there were the crowd were going up and down the scaffolding, and which was creating a rumble, and poor old Shamwari was terrified, and yeah, started galloping sideways and bucking, and it was, you know, like I got him, so I went in and pretty badly prepared, and I got the trot work really, really well, and then once I got to the canter, he's got a tricky canter how it is, and you know, we really fell apart. So, but luckily we scored sort of 75% in the trot and 65% in the canter. So we actually still came out with a 46 or 47, which wasn't that, you know, it could have been way better, but it could have also been way worse, you know.
Yes, well, obviously, you know, it is what it is on the day, and you have to deal with the environment and the circumstances. But at the end of that, obviously, all you could think about was the cross country. And when you first walked the course, what were your immediate impressions, Boyd?
To be quite honest, Chris, it was exactly what I expected. Pierre Michelet is notorious for making very, very big technical testing courses, and it was exactly that. The terrain was grueling. It was up and down hills the whole way, and there were a lot of big, you know, tracanas or ditch palisades to a long distance, to a narrow, to a curving long distance, to a corner. You know, I'd sort of expected that, so we've been training for that a bit, and you know, but basically, I think Bucker was the first horse on course, and as soon as his horse went out, you know, he was halfway around, and poor old Reggie looked a bit knackered, and Buck rode him, rode the tail off him, and you know, I think everyone went really, really quiet watching the monitors, and you know, everyone worked out that this was going to be a very, very unique event, and. You know, I was just lucky. I was on a just a brilliant horse. It was a trial. You know, in hindsight, I wish I went out a little bit quicker because, I was worried about using him up too much and having a tired horse at the end. And funny enough, I think I was the 5th or 6th fastest time, but I could have gone 20 seconds quicker. He had lots and lots of energy left, and you know, the good thing is he finished fresh and I was thrilled with the way he ran.
But obviously the footing, as you said, made a difference, and going late in the day was not an advantage. But tell us about the fences that they took out, which removed a loop of the course, and I understand then left you on unprepared terrain, which must have got pretty dug up by the end of the day.
Yeah, it was interesting. They cut off loop, which really only cut off one jump. That was an easy jump. So they put the track sort of up a hill, which was not prepared at all. And so that was just atrocious footing. So, you know, it was the same for everyone, though. And, I mean, when you were going, there were parts of the course where I felt like he was galloping up to his knees in mud, like through a bit of a swamp, a bit like a fox hunt sometimes. And, and it wouldn't matter if you went right on the rope or out in the middle, or like you just couldn't get any good footing. So, you know, the horses just had to guts it out. And I think, you know, you had to ride at a pace. You couldn't watch the watch, you know, like you had to just ride with the feel of your horse and sort of understand that, you know, it's going to be much more of a question or an ask that you've ever given to them before. And I, you know, my guy was just such a trier, and he's a wonderful galloper, and he felt like he was travelling on top of the mud. So, yeah, I was very, very pleased. And he jumped all the tricky stuff, just brilliant. You know, he's a real class horse.
So was it a course that, if it wasn't for the footing, would have suited you anyway, or even probably more riders, but the footing made all the difference?
Yeah, the footing, but I mean, the difficulty of the course was as difficult as I've ever ridden. So I think even if the footing was beautiful, there would have been run-outs and eliminations and falls. You know, it wasn't just... there were so many things. You know, the terrain was tough, the course was brutal, and the footing was very deep and slow and tiring. So you put all those things together and it was survival of the fittest.
Well, yeah, I think that just about sums it up. And those three fairly tough water combinations as well. The third one, the Rolex one, being particularly a bogey fence, I think. How did that ride for you? Because that step was pretty deep and the brush came up pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I got lucky or if I was on a brilliant horse, but that really, you know, like that jump... You know, if Mark Todd fell there and Buck retired there and Tim had a run out there and old Shamwari, he pricked his ears. I think he still had plenty of gas in the tank and he jumped that really, really well. And that was, one of the most influential jumps in the course. So, I think I gave him a good shot in and beyond that, he read it and took care of it. It was pretty awesome to ride him, actually. It was good.
Well, as you said, you got home with still some gas in the tank, which is obviously a relief after the grueling conditions that you had. But it was a late night for everyone, not least of all for your groom, Lindsay, who we'll talk about in a minute because she retired from the team, didn't she, when she got home?
Yeah, Lindsay, she's been with me for a number of years now. We've done a lot of events together and she's moved on, unfortunately, and it was a great event for me and Lindsay to finish together at because it was a successful event, and we've been through a lot together, and it was good having her there because she knows the horses so well, and I think it was a big goal of hers as well to groom at the not only the Olympics but the World Equestrian Games. So it was good. It was a good, finishing event for us.
Well, as you say, late night at the end of cross country. It always is a late night anyway, but you guys had to pack up from Jarad Dupin and ship in the next day after an early jog, a 7:30 a.m. jog, into Caen, to the main stadium there, the Stade Ordano, where you did your show jumping, which was a fantastic environment. But tell us about that day and how that went for you. You must have been up pretty early that day, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get much sleep. Like, we kept on trotting up the horses to make sure they were in good form so we didn't get to bed till 11 and then woke up at 5:30 and went out there and trod them up and loaded them up into a convoy and drove an hour to the soccer stadium in Caen. And that was awesome. Like, even walking the show jumping course, I walked it with the team and, like, you couldn't even hear what the coach was saying on the coursework. It was so noisy. I think there were 20,000 fans in there, and it was a massive arena with huge electricity, and it was a real thrill to ride in there. And my fella, he jumped beautiful. He was a little bit knackered from the day before, and I think we had one down, and it was one of those rails that was rolling in the cups for a couple sways and popped out, unfortunately. I just caught the triple going in just behind, just tapped it. So I think it was still a great performance. But, it was one of those events, Chris, where, like looking back on it, I think I could have done better in the dressage, faster in the cross country, and could have show jumped clear, which... I think everyone's probably saying that, but it was a great performance, but it could have been just slightly better if I had my time over.
Well, as you said, before even the start of the competition, when you knew that it was not going to be the event that you'd all hoped for because of the conditions, and you were a little bit nervous, but how did your nerves unfold after the cross country and then when you got to that big stadium in Caen?
To be honest, I've been doing this for so long now, Chris. Nerves don't, I mean, they're obviously nerves, but it's a good thing, like I think I operate a bit better, under that sort of pressure or spotlight. And used to it now. I've been at it for a while, and I think I thrive in that sort of scenario, and you know, I love the thrill of it. So it doesn't affect me that much, to be quite honest.
So you can make the butterflies fly in formation then?
I'm not sure, but I had complete faith in my horse, and I trained my heart out, so I sort of left no stone unturned. So, you know, I mean, stuff can always go wrong, but when you've got a top horse and then you've worked very hard in the preparation, it should work out for you, and I'm thankful it did.
Well, you talk about your preparation. Obviously, your fitness after having broken a leg earlier this season was interrupted. What did you do differently for this big event than Boyd to make yourself as fit as you could be?
You know, I gave up drinking for a couple of months, and I think I was lucky because I had so many injuries this year, not only my leg, but I separated my shoulder and dislocated my elbow. And so I've been going to physiotherapy trying to get sound again. And luckily I met a guy there that's a sports physio that, you know, worked half the time on my injuries and half the time on my core strength. And, you know, I knew it was good. World Championships is always just an unbelievable test. So, you know, I lost a fair bit of weight and really worked hard and focused and bought myself a really good horse. You know, and then in that top group of horses in the world. So it's, you know, it was more of a relief that it all worked out for me, you know, because everything seemed to be going wrong a bit earlier this year. Like, I wasn't on any training lists. I broke my leg, and you know, I really thought I was going to be struggling to make the team. And yeah, I had a lot of great people around me, great owners. Philip obviously rode my horses and trained them for me while I was out of action, and great group of staff here. Not only Lindsay, but you know, Caitlin did a lot of the dressage and Shane Wally while I was out, because Silver was injured too. And yeah. Just hung in there, mate, and chipped along, and it all worked out for me, thankfully.
Well, you mentioned the owners. Do you want to give a shout out to everyone that obviously was part of a very important team there to buy you one of the best horses in the world and produce that finish at the World Games?
Well, I would, except there's the Shamwari list is long, the biggest syndicate I've got, actually, because he was quite expensive, and I'm terrified if I start rattling off names, I'll forget one or two. So they know who they are, and obviously the majority of them there in London, in Normandy, and we all had a wonderful dinner on Sunday night after the event, and it was really good because they all believed in me a bit in January when I presented this horse to them, and I was so happy that it worked out.
Well, it clearly did, obviously. Big sigh of relief to you. So what were your biggest takeaways from this competition then, Boyd, in partnership with this horse, and what you will aim for next with him?
You know, I think this horse is the best, you know, probably the best horse I've ever ridden. So, you know, like, my expectations are pretty high with the results. So, you know, top 10's good, but, you know, I'd like to think that he should come out and he should go close to winning Rolex next year or Poe or wherever we take him. And he's only 12-year-old, so I think he'll be around for the Olympics too. So I've just got to keep, you know, gently working away with him, getting to know him a bit better, and set him up for one or two big events in the near future, and go for it, you know.
Well, obviously fine-tune your partnership with him, but also work on your own soundness and make sure you don't break any more bones this season, Boyd.
Yeah, they're all out of the way, I think. So.
Good. All right. Well, again, congratulations on finishing eighth, the best-placed American at the World Games, and thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Seventh, I think, because there's a guy who got a positive drug test, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, that was Maxime Levio, the French rider, who did get a positive. You're absolutely right. So that kicked you up a place. I'll take that back.
Well, have they changed it, or he's got to go to court or something?
I guess it has to go through the procedure, absolutely. But you're right, he did come back with a positive test. So that would move you one up, and you're still in the record books in the top 10 of the World Equestrian Games.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you to... We had wonderful support over there from the Americans, and it wasn't an event where we had a lot to cheer about, but we had a wonderful team spirit over there and great supporters, and it was a wonderful feeling riding for the country.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations, Boyd, and thanks again for coming on the program. Good luck with the rest of your season.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris.
And a reminder that all the information you need about the Neutrina American Eventing Championships are on the website at useventing.com. This podcast is available for download from iTunes to your smartphone podcast apps. Until the next time, thank you for listening and enjoy your eventing.